today we're going to see what we can learn as we look at the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk about how Jesus tells his friends of his resurrection, and then how Jesus prays with his disciples in John 17. We're going to look at the arrest and priest's trial of Jesus. Then on Passion Sunday, we're going to look at the political and sentencing of Jesus. All of this is happening between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane until the arrest. And then we head toward the crucifixion. And of course, on Easter, we will be celebrating the resurrection. And then after Easter, we'll have some more reflections on the crucifixion. There's just way too much to put everything in. We have a lot of important Sunday preaching themes that we're going to deal with on this journey and even after. And all of this has come as we are using the three chapters, as I said, John 14, 15, 16, and then 17, we go into the prayer, 18, the betrayal and arrest, 19, the sentencing, a lot to cover. And even today's message on the Holy Spirit could be four or five different ones added together because there's just so much here. But we're just looking at the fact that Jesus promises that the Counselor will come. There are many promises in the Bible. Each one is from the loving heart of God, and the promise of the Holy Spirit that comes from Jesus is also from that same heart of God's love. And in some ways, is the very presence of God's love in us. For the three are one, Father, Son, and Spirit, and God loves his own, then Jesus loves his own, and the Spirit loves his own, and God's love is the love that Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 13:8, that where he says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. But God's love never fails in the NIV translation. So, as another act of God's love, which sent the Son because of love, Jesus promises this in John 14, 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Jesus, the Son of God, always defers to his Father while he's on earth. That is a submission. It's part of the mutual submission of the Trinity, one to another. And Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father while he's on earth. He'd never tried to step or run ahead. He always checked in. Every day he got his marching orders from God in prayer. And every evening he shared the report of how things are going. And Jesus always deferred to his Father while on earth. But when he goes into his eternal time, which he's already there, he's ascended to the Father already, he is no longer making that prayer that he made in the garden where his final conclusion was, not my will, but your will be done. Instead, he will be right there with the Father. He tells the disciples he'll ask the Father, but no uncertainty here. Because Jesus says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor. He's absolutely sure of that because there's no more deference. It is Father, Son, Holy Spirit all together. They share the heart of love, and Jesus already knows the heart of the Father, for it is his own heart. And for us, we pray to God for what we want. Well, Jesus teaching on prayer in these chapters, as we saw last week, is the promise that prayer's purpose will always be met in God's answers, which will be in line with his kingdom's purposes. Now, the promise here is that the Paraclete, as we call him, will come to us. Jesus will ask, the verse says here. The Father will give what we need. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, first of all, Parakletos, which means our helper, our advocate, our intercessor. It's only here in John's Gospel. It shows up three times in these chapters I'm dealing with. And Jesus speaks of the Spirit as Parakletos, which in our clumsy speech usually comes out as Paraclete. This third person of the Trinity will take the place of Jesus in the lives of his disciples another counselor besides Jesus in physical form cannot stay with us eternally. Instead, we need the presence of God in our lives through the Spirit. Otherwise, we're lost in our selfishness and our sin. So, Jesus sends counselor, intercessor, advocate, helper. Those are all cognate words that go with what parakletos means. So this that comes from God the Father by the request of Jesus the Son is the Holy Spirit that counsels us. He is the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us before the Father in heaven. He is the Spirit that helps us and who advocates for us, or takes our side, we should say, in our needs to fulfill the Father's purposes in each of us. Now, not for selfishness. The paraclete isn't with us so that we get whatever we want. The paraclete's with us to guide us into what God wants as we pray. And Jesus says that this paraclete will be with us forever, unchanging and unchangeable. The paraclete does not pass through a birth and death and resurrection, as does Jesus, who we first see in physical form, yet who is the only begotten Son of God. And so Jesus promises the Spirit of Truth, which is another name for the Counselor, because of another function of the Spirit in us. As Counselor, the Spirit is on our side, so we do not stand alone before men nor before God. And this Counselor Paraclete is with us forever because of Jesus' request. But Jesus' description now is this, found in John 14:17. He is the Spirit of Truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Well, this verse tells us that the Spirit of Truth is not given to the whole world. It's only given to believers. The Spirit of Truth, because it's only given to believers, well, it's given to believers because it can't be recognized. It's unrecognizable by the unbeliever. The believer really will not question who the Spirit is. We already know him, for in our confession of faith in Jesus, we get that kiss of Spirit in a sense. And when Jesus went to the Father after the resurrection, he asked on our behalf, and God did as the Son asked, and the promise was permeated with the permanent presence of the Paraclete in our lives. Jesus now, the Spirit later, that was the promise that he made to his disciples. Well, we're part of the later. We're part of the time where the Spirit of Truth that was in Jesus fully, and so had been with the disciples, with them in the person of Jesus. Jesus said it will be with them, and actually is in us as long as we live, if we open ourselves to it by our full belief and faith in Jesus. Jesus is with us when the Spirit is in us. That's our reality. That's the Jesus we carry around, is the Spirit of Truth in us and with us and for us. This word is given so that the believer will always know the reality of Jesus through the Spirit. As he says again in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. We're not left all on our own. These chapters, it talks about the disciples' grief over what Jesus is saying about going to the cross and how he says he will leave them. And they haven't figured out, they haven't put it together in their minds, just all of that, what that means. But they're sometimes weeping and sometimes need support, and Jesus is giving them that kind of support, including the promise of the Holy Spirit and this promise that he will not leave them alone, not left as orphans, not left without Jesus' Spirit, not left without the identity as daughters and sons of the Heavenly Father. We have the Spirit of Truth because of Jesus' plea for our needs. The disciples received that Spirit of Truth, and that's how we got our Scripture, because of what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit and what he did. This Counselor, Holy Spirit, is our teacher. That's one of the things to know. Jesus says it like this, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. John 14, 25 and 26. Jesus spent only 3 years with his disciples on earth, but has continued to be with them all their lives to teach and remember all that Jesus spoke. And John's gospel was written decades after the resurrection, probably as much as 40 years or more after the resurrection of Jesus. John penned this gospel. He had time to just saturate in the Holy Spirit of God in him, receive the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And as he wrote this gospel, as he wrote it down, the Holy Spirit led him and guided him and let him have perfectly the sense of who Jesus was. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have the gospel records of the life of Jesus. We know the Spirit of truth because this Spirit was first in the apostles. We know of the Spirit of truth because in our own surrender to God for forgiveness, we shared the Spirit. The third person of the Trinity is known to us as Counselor, Advocate, Helper, Intercessor, Teacher, an amazing gift of God. But not only is the Spirit of truth given to teach, but also the Spirit's role is to testify about Jesus. And when we get to these parts, you start to see, as I go fairly quickly through several verses here, that it's much more about the Spirit than even just to focus on John's gospel than I can possibly cover in this time together. But I wanted to focus on these things that are said about the Spirit between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, between the Last Supper and the arrest of Jesus. And so I'm kind of bouncing through these things fairly quickly. But one of the Spirit's roles is to testify about Jesus, first in our hearts, but also to the world. It says this in 15:26, when the Counselor comes, the one I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. So first, the Spirit testifies about Jesus in us so that we become more sure and more certain and more dedicated to the purpose of Christ in us and what God wants to work through us. If we open our hearts to the Spirit of God pours into us and keeps telling us, keeps reminding us about the truth of Jesus, who he is and what he has done for us and what he wants to do in us, what is yet unfinished and what God has plans to finish. He will testify about me. And then also this same Spirit in us testifies about Jesus through us. And here's what it says actually in John 15:27. You also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Spirit comes to testify about Jesus in us, but then also the Spirit comes to testify to the world about Jesus through us. And that's all the Spirit's work. And without the Spirit, it doesn't work. Without the Spirit, you can stand and speak the words of the Scripture without the Holy Spirit of God, and they're just words. They're just words. But with the Holy Spirit of God, they are life. They are renewal. They are instruction. They are comfort. They are guidance. They are counsel. They teach. All of these things because of the Spirit in us. Jesus is saying these things to us because there is a necessity that he is facing right now. Jesus must return to the Father. He's telling his disciples this. The cross is in front of him and the grave is yet to be experienced. And as Jesus experiences the cross, the terrible death he pays to pay for our sins, he also faces the grave. And he knows that he is going to be knocking on the gates of hell. But of course, Satan doesn't have those keys anymore. Jesus has those keys. And the gates of hell cannot stand against the Christ. He knows this is coming, and he knows he must return to the Father. He knows that he must go through cross and grave and hell to get to resurrection. But here's what he says to his disciples in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I'll send him to you. That's because Jesus is fully God and fully human, and the Spirit was fully in Jesus. So the Spirit abided. I mean, Jesus was the container for the Spirit, in a sense. Now, the Spirit of God was active in the world, doing stuff the Spirit does all the time. But the nature of the Spirit of the presence of God was in Jesus so fully that he needed to pass through cross and grave and resurrection in order to release his Holy Spirit to us. And when he released his Holy Spirit to us, that happened because he went to the Father. He asked the Father. He sent the Counselor. And that is the gift of Jesus to us through cross and grave and hell and life again. And so as he releases the Spirit to us, this Spirit has work to do in us. And interesting what we learn a little bit further into John 16 as we're looking at what John says about the Holy Spirit, Jesus' words of the Holy Spirit here in John 16. The Spirit of truth, in a sense, is God's attorney general. The Spirit of truth is God's eternal general, or attorney general, that is. And it said very simply in 16:8, when he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So he is the attorney general. He brings the charges into the hearts of those that are not saved by the blood of Christ. He brings the charges into the hearts of those who are sinning against the God of heaven. He brings the charges in the hearts of those who are not following righteousness, in those who are under judgment. And so here's Jesus separating those a little bit as the Spirit convicts the world about sin. So that John 16:8 said he's going to convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then in 16:9, it's all about the sin. About sin because they do not believe in me. Jesus said earlier in the Gospel of John, this is the will of the Father, that you believe in the one he sent. If you do not believe in the one that God sent, if you do not invest yourself in Christ, in whom God has invested life for us, then you sin against the Father. So, about sin, because they do not believe in me. And again, There's full sermons in each of these verses that I certainly am not going to try to do this morning. But then also the Spirit convicts the world about righteousness. So about sin, because they do not believe in me. And here's what he says about righteousness in verse 10. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. So the Holy Spirit is our guide for righteousness. We don't have Jesus as our model right there. He's going to the Father. He says, I can't show you anymore, so the Holy Spirit will be in you to lead you into righteousness. But those who don't believe in Christ are actually convicted of unrighteousness because they don't have a way to follow the designs of God the Father. Since we no longer see Jesus, we need that Spirit in us in order to do what God wants to do in us. And gave up my page too soon. Then the Spirit also convicts the world about judgment. John 16:11 is the verse there. So about sin, because they don't believe in me. About righteousness, because you won't see me anymore. And now about judgment. And this one becomes pretty pointed. As John says in verse 11, and about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Which means, if you are under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's either because of sin or unrighteousness or judgment. If you're not under any conviction and you're not living for Jesus, if you're not following the paths of righteousness, then you're probably sitting in that place where you don't truly believe in Jesus. You're just talking about Jesus, and you can't really understand or grasp or get a hold of the Spirit of Jesus. The unbelieving world cannot accept the Spirit of God. It just doesn't work. Faith is necessary for the Spirit to have a place in our lives. And when the Spirit has a place in our lives, it keeps guiding us the way that God wants us to go. And that is because the Spirit of truth shares the Father's heart. Even as Jesus shared the Father's heart, there was really too much to tell, Jesus said. There's understanding too deep for these young disciples. Jesus left open the door of what the Spirit would teach us in all the years of learning to walk with Him. And this is why I love that John wrote these things so many years after the resurrection, as he experienced God's Spirit in his life during these decades and was able to say, yes, Jesus' words that he told me way back then, that the Spirit has reminded me, have proven true throughout every step of my life. And so he says there is just so much more to tell. In John 16:12, he says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Okay, 3 years he's been pouring himself into his disciples. You just can't get it all in an instant. You can't get it all in a week. You can't get it all in a seminary. You can't get it all in a little bit of time hearing of salvation and telling about salvation, but trying to understand all that God wants us to know. You don't get it all without the Holy Spirit constantly at work in your spirit to produce what God wants to happen. As the Spirit shares the Father's heart, Jesus shares the Father's heart, there's so much more to tell, but here's the good news. The Spirit of truth is our guide to God's truth. And that's the first bit of John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. See, there's another role of the Spirit. The Spirit guides us into truth. Without the Spirit of God, we might walk away from the truth. We might divert from the core of the truth. If we try and decide on what being a Christian means without the Spirit of God active in our lives, we're going to end up making it our religion, not God's plan. That's how religions develop in place of relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. Because we try and move into truth without the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God so we might be guided to God's truth. And also, this Spirit of truth speaks for God. And that's the second part of verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears. So the Spirit that comes to dwell in us is not separated from the Trinity. It is the Trinity. We experience Father, Son, and Spirit through the Spirit in us. And this means we understand that when the Spirit speaks, we repeat those words, understanding that God said them to us, in us, through us. How does that happen? I don't know. I don't know why sometimes we just feel the Spirit leading us one way. I don't know why sometimes we receive a dream that shows us God's perfect will. I don't know why sometimes we we can repeat a sentence that we say, God told me this. When did my ear hear it? No, but my heart heard it. And somehow I was able to put it into words. The Spirit of truth speaks for God. Now, like one time I was ready to speak against the Pharisees that were busting up a church I was serving, and I stood there with my shotgun loaded, ready to preach. I put my papers down on the pulpit, and God said to me right then, I love the Pharisees too. Okay, now what I do with that sermon? It got turned over. And I don't know what I preached that day. But it wasn't me. Why? Because the Spirit of truth speaks for God. And that Spirit of truth will do that if you're open to it. And also, Jesus tells us that the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of prophecy. Now, I'm not talking about the prophecy that sometimes is practiced as a spiritual gift in the church as we talk about individuals or we say that we understood this or that about someone. Here's what it says. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will also declare to you what is to come. So that's the Spirit of prophecy I'm talking about. The Spirit of truth will let us know what our future holds if we'll open up to him. We also need to know that the Spirit of truth glorifies Jesus. John 16:14 says it this way, he will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of truth does not leave Jesus out of the equation. The Spirit of truth reminds us that when Jesus was on the cross, John's gospel calls that his glory time, because Jesus was fulfilling the will of the Father at the cost of his own life. And that glorified the Father, and the Spirit now to us glorifies the Son because of his faithfulness. And that's because the Son has been exalted. John 16:15, the first part says, everything the Father has is mine. You know, Philippians chapter 2 says that after he has fulfilled his righteousness, Jesus was given a seat at the right hand of God, exalted above everything else, and given the name that is above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ and the glory of God the Father. That is the Spirit of truth that speaks through us so we might glorify Jesus with the Father because of what he has done. Everything the Father has is mine. It's been given to him because of his obedience. And also the Spirit of truth declares the truth of Jesus. Second part of verse 15. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. All things have been given to Christ. The Spirit digs into that well to declare to us. So many sermons that are in here, I can't preach them all. I just have to just move along so I can finish these words about the Spirit of God in John 14:15 and 16. And so we discover here in all of this that the promise of the Spirit of truth is for us. The promise of the Spirit of truth is for us. And that's because we need the Spirit in us. We need a counselor helper. We need a counselor teacher. We need the power to testify about Jesus. We need the Spirit to be effective in evangelism. Because if the unbelieving world is not convicted of their own sin, they'll never seek a path of righteousness and will fall under the judgment of Satan. And we're tasked with the mission to testify about Jesus so that the unbelieving world might have a doorway into faith. By the Holy Spirit working in us, working through us, working for those that God loves, which is everybody, even the scum of the earth. God loves them enough that Jesus died for them. Even those who dwell in mansions, God loves them enough that Jesus died for them. Even kings and generals and soldiers, God loves them enough that Jesus died for them. And they need to know. And it's only those who carry the Spirit of truth that can bring it. The Spirit is promised. Are we receptive? But this is one of those areas we have to open our hearts, that the Lord of creation might come in. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for what you work in us, through us, in your word, in those who have written it down, in those who have preserved and protected it these 2,000 years so that we might read the words that Jesus wrote, that we might read the words written about Jesus, that we might read the words of Jesus, because, Holy Spirit, you have been at work in those who have shared Jesus with us. Help us to know that Spirit. Help us to be open to your Spirit. Help us to serve you through the Spirit of God at work in us. Fill us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Take us, Lord, to your purpose. In Jesus' name.